Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Thursday, May the 2nd, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. We're going to start off today's episode hearing from a Gillingham woman who spent almost 20 years stuck in just one room of her home. Isla Smythe struggled with her mobility after skiing and horse riding accidents and now weighs 35 stone. She's undergone at least 11 operations but is desperate for her home to be modified so she can at least get around in a wheelchair. The 54-year-old is cared for by her husband but says she no longer has any quality of life and often wishes she went to bed and didn't wake up. Well, Isla has been speaking to the Kent Online podcast about her situation.
I've been housebound for it feels like forever. I've got arthritis, gout, asthma, I'm incontinent, I get depressed, and sometimes I think suicide is a good option. If it wasn't for the fact that my husband's here, I would have taken that option. Why am I still here? That's a good question. I suppose it's because my husband's determined to keep me alive, where I wish I was dead every time I wake up every morning thinking, oh God, another day in this square box. You know, you see points of the compass. Yesterday I had to explain to one of these reporters how I live. And I said north, south, east and west. And I realised that's a compass. Everybody has one in their life, whether you're a sailor, you're a soldier or whatever. You go to work, you go home, you go to go and see your friends, your family, your church or whatever. Well, in my house, where I'm sleeping now, that's my bed, that's where I also get washed. I know we're in 2024. Oh, there you go. Now you're going to think, why don't I know the date? Because telling me what date it is doesn't make a sodding difference from yesterday, tomorrow or the day before, because today, next month and the next month and the year after that are going to be exactly the same. I'm still going to be in the same position doing the same old goddamn thing. Relying on other people, lost your dignity a long time ago. When somebody else is wiping your bottom and putting a nappy on you because you're incontinent, believe me, there's nothing. Your dignity's gone. You're lucky you're having somebody to help you. And you think to yourself, is this the way you want to live? Yeah, this isn't how I wanted to live. This isn't what I pictured for myself. I pictured for myself that I'd always be able to be independent. I'd work hard. I'd strive to be a good person. And I'm with the man I love, and I'm lucky enough to have that. I didn't want to be wealthy, I didn't want to be famous or anything like this. I just wanted to be with somebody I know I love and grow old together. We've done all the things you're supposed to do. You're being honest, you work hard, and you think to yourself, if you need help, it's there. But it's not. And the old-fashioned thing of, oh, well, you're going to have plenty of friends and family. I've got family, I've got friends, and everybody, they forget you. You're like an old postcard that people send. And after a while, they don't send postcards to that person. They think, oh, I haven't seen them in ages. It doesn't matter. They don't invite you to weddings. They don't invite you to christenings, birthdays, religious events. Because they think, oh, can't be bothered with that person. And when you do occasionally turn up, they think, oh, she's still alive, is she? And I thought to myself, oh, am I really that old? No, I'm not that old. I'm not as old as 60 and I'm not old as 40 anymore, but when I turned 40 I stopped counting because I thought, what is the point of counting? Next year I hope I'm dead, for the simple reason I don't want to carry on living like this. Every year I don't bother counting my birthday. Yeah, I don't bother counting what's going to happen next month. In a few days time is my husband's birthday and I'm supposed to really look forward to this. Normally I would have baked a cake 20 years ago, I would have got him presents, I would have been planning ahead. Now I'm dreading that because I haven't got the time, effort or the coordination to get my hands to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to give instructions to somebody else who can do that. And the words aren't coming out right sometimes. So when you're saying to somebody, I want you to put 3 tablespoons of something in, and it's turned out to be instead of teaspoons, it was tablespoons. You can imagine what the cake tasted like. It was terrible. Well, it didn't matter. It was a laugh and a joke. We all laughed and joked about it. But inside, I was dying because I thought to myself, it's a little bit of your brain that's going. Yeah, because you're not exercising. You don't use it. You're able to talk to yourself. You can say whatever you want to the rest of the world. But nobody's listening. When my husband comes home at the end of the day, I've got to put a smile on my face and say to him, yes, darling, I've had a lovely day. It's all right. And inside, I think to myself, Why did this poor devil love me enough to stay with me? He could have had a chance at anything in the world, and he was settled with me. And I don't give him any hope, but he still loves me. God knows why.
Really emotional hearing from Isla there. Well, in 2013, Medway Council did grant £30,000 towards improvements to Isla's home, but builders have quoted between £50,000 and £60,000 for the work. We contacted the authority for a comment, and this is what they said.
Medway Council has continued to correspond with Mr and Mrs Smythe in an effort to resolve their situation. In November last year, a visit was conducted to assess the feasibility of home improvements. It concluded the only feasible adaptation under the Disabled Facilities Grant is the provision of rear access. The works required to provide bathing and sleeping facilities were not considered to be reasonable and practical under the Disabled Facilities Grant criteria. The survey also determined that the property was not suitable to meet Mrs Smythe's long-term needs. Mr and Mrs Smythe have also been advised of an alternative option, a moving home grant, to assist with fees and costs related to moving to a more suitable property. A letter was sent to Mr and Mrs Smythe in March asking whether they wish to continue with an application for the access works and requesting benefit information to confirm their eligibility for the Disabled Facilities Grant. The council continues to keep the case open while awaiting their response.
Kent Online News.
A woman's facing life in prison after being found guilty of murdering a pub landlord in Maidstone. Stephanie Langley stabbed her ex-brother-in-law Matthew Bryant to death at the Hare and Hounds last September. She claimed to have been acting in self-defence, but was convicted by a jury. This is the moment Matthew called police after being threatened.
Yeah, I'd just like to report something, please. Got a female coming to my venue. I've done it for, Bennett. She's just threatened to kill me.
Right, and she there at the moment?
No, she's walked out, but she's coming back, apparently.
Do you normally see her, or did you just show up today?
I've not seen her for 21 years.
Okay.
She came in here a few months back, and I was harried out by her son, saying, get away now, because she's gunning for you.
Okay, and that
she's
was a few months
She's now just threatened
ago.
To have me killed. Oh, hang on a tick. Would you like to talk to her?
Is she there now?
Hang on, I've got the police on the phone.
Hello?
Langley, who's 55 and from Wilson's Lane in East Farley, was recorded on a police body-worn camera shortly after being arrested.
Just remind yourself, obviously you can say what you want, but you are under caution, okay?
I don't care. Okay. I will tell you exactly as it happened. I took a knife, I killed him. I don't care.
Matthew's widow, Caroline, spoke outside court yesterday following the verdict.
I just feel like justice has been done. My life hasn't been the same since Matthew died. It was taken from me in such a cruel way. Stephanie felt the need to drag Matt's name from the mud and make him out to be a monster, which he wasn't. I have to relive this every day for the rest of my life. I will never forget my Matt, and neither will his friends or family for the man he really was. Matthew was a fun-loving man. He really was. All the customers loved him. He laughed and had jokes about with everyone. He was never horrible. He wasn't a bully, he wasn't like that.
And Detective Chief Inspector David Higham led the investigation.
Would like to thank the public witnesses who assisted, along with the investigation team, Crown Prosecution Service, who worked tirelessly to bring this woman to justice.
Langley will find out next week when she's due to be sentenced.
Kent Online reports.
Figures seen by the Kent Online podcast today show 711 people crossed the channel to Kent in 14 small boats yesterday. That's a record daily high for this year. It takes the total number of asylum seekers who've made the journey since just last Friday to more than 1,600. And it comes as a 23-year-old Sudanese national has been charged by detectives investigating the deaths of five people who were trying to cross the channel last week. The National Crime Agency says the man's appearing before magistrates later, accused of entering the UK illegally. Three people have been arrested after more than 1,500 cannabis plants were seized in Ramsgate. Police raided a commercial property yesterday morning and found the plants along with cultivation equipment. The men, aged between 33 and 48, remain in custody while inquiries continue. Three indecent exposure offences near Tunbridge Wells are thought to be linked. There have been reports of a man seen behaving behaving inappropriately near Rustall Road, Langton Road and Coach Road last month. Anyone who's seen anything suspicious or captured footage on CCTV is being urged to contact police. A man's been charged after a number of outbuildings were broken into in Tunbridge Wells. Police were called to reports of a person also trying to get into homes in the Pembury part of town in the early hours of the morning. A 32-year-old who hasn't got a permanent address has been remanded in custody after appearing in court. Now we get to vote for who we think should be Kent's Police and Crime Commissioner today. There are three candidates going for the role, with the result declared on Sunday. Council elections are also happening in Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells, while two local neighbourhood plan referendums are happening in Pluckley and Chatham. Don't forget, you're going to need photo ID with you this time around. Nikki Dixon is from the Electoral Commission.
Anyone who plans to go along to the polling station today to vote will need to take photographic ID with them. There are lots of different types of ID that can be used, but to give you a few examples, people can take with them their passport, their driver's license, or an older person's or disabled person's bus pass. And if people want to see the full list of accepted ID, they can find that on the Electoral Commission website, which is electoralcommission.org.uk.
And will they be turned away if they don't have the correct form of ID?
I'm afraid so. Anyone without photographic ID won't be able to vote.
Polling stations opened at 7 this morning and will close at 10 tonight.
Kent Online reports.
Stagecoach have been criticised over a decision to cut the number of buses on routes in Canterbury, Herne Bay and Whitstable. A new timetable comes into force this Sunday, with bosses saying the changes reflect the level of demand. Passengers say the cuts will make it harder to get to work and medical appointments on time. Plans to build more than 80 houses and a new care home in Hythe have been approved. The development is planned for the old Smith's Medical site between Boundary Road and Fort Road. 30% of the project will be affordable housing, but it's not known yet when construction will be complete. Some education news next, and a Medway primary school's been praised by inspectors and seen its rating jump from inadequate to good. Wainscott Primary was criticised back in 2019, but Ofsted now say teaching and learning has improved. They added that pupils enjoy going to the school and feel happy, cared for and safe. Meantime, North Kent College has been rated good by Ofsted following its first inspection in 7 years. The college has campuses in Dartford, Gravesend and Tunbridge and has been praised for its inclusive and supportive environment. It was also found to be outstanding in behaviour and attitudes. An animal conservation centre near Ashford has announced a major new operation to save lions from Ukraine. The animals are currently living at a site near Kyiv, but some of them have suffered from shell shock due to the bombings. Cam Whitnall's released this appeal.
The Big Cat Sanctuary plans to rescue five African lions from war-torn Ukraine and build them a new rescue facility here at the sanctuary in what is our biggest and most ambitious project to date. Meet Yuna, Rory, Amani, Lyra and Vanda, five lions in need of a forever home. Our partners, I4, are currently caring for them at the Wild Animal Rescue Centre in Kyiv, Ukraine. The five lions were all likely victims of the illegal wildlife trade. Yuna and Rory have been suffering with severe concussion and shell shock, with Yuna being affected so bad that she was unable to walk. The Big Cat Sanctuary needs urgent funds to evacuate them from Ukraine, bring them here and build them a new rescue centre as soon as possible. The sanctuary turns to the public for their generosity, as the expenses associated with building the new rescue centre, the veterinary care and the transporting of the lions are substantial.
Fundraising is underway to cover the cost of transport, vets and a new enclosure at the park in Smarden. A man who's walking from Manchester to Ibiza has now raised more than £20,000 for a Kent charity. Henry Moores has teamed up with nightclub owner Wayne Lineker and will travel a total of 2,400 kilometres on foot. He's doing it to raise money for the Tony Hudgell Foundation, which was set up by the adoptive mum of a Maidstone boy who lost both of his legs after being abused as a baby. Well, Henry's been chatting to us while walking through villages in northern France.
The journey so far has been absolutely fantastic. I've been surrounded by such amazing support, constant messages, constant phone calls off family, friends and loved ones. And you know what? It really has pushed me on massively. I would not be able to do it without them. It's just been a little distraction, I suppose, every day when I've been reading through messages, looking at my social media, answering phone calls. It's numbed the reality of what I'm doing. So physically so far, I don't feel as bad as I thought I would. Upon deciding I'm going to walk to Ibiza for charity, it was between me, Wayne and Wayne's assistant. We were sort of thinking different charities you could raise money for. Obviously, there's hundreds of great charities out there. So we wanted to make the right decision when choosing a charity to raise money for. So we were looking online and we wanted to link it to something to do with walking. And obviously Tony raising money during lockdown walking, we thought he'd be a great fit. He has good links with Pride of Britain. He's a fantastic young lad, inspirational. So we chose Tony, went and met him down in Kent. And I was not disappointed at all. We were so, so happy we chose to raise money for Tony Hildreth Foundation. His parents, Paula and Mark, and Tony, just lovely people. It just gives like a load of reassurance, really. So why raising money for them? In regards to planning the event, not much planning has gone into it at all. You'd be massively surprised. So every day I'll go on my phone in the morning, look for the cheapest B&B or hostel and book it the day before and then walk towards it. This past week and for the next 2 weeks, I'll be sleeping in my friend's camper van. Shout out to Tom. And then we'll do the exact same thing there, except it costs a lot less money. We're in a camper van. Campsites cost about 10 to 20 euros per night. So yeah, not much planning goes into it, which is the way I want it to be, just in case one thing goes wrong, it can lead to like the whole thing basically going wrong, like a domino effect, really. I've had a lot of support through the public, like previously mentioned. I've had a lot of support through Tony's family, texting me most days, messaging me most days, sharing the foundation, sharing the projects that I'm doing. I've also had Tony and Paula come out to meet me, which was absolutely fantastic, like a mini surprise meet. They texted me the night before saying, where are you going to be on this day? And then I was running up a country road and out of nowhere, this big van comes down with Tony in the front and Paula in the driver's seat. It was a great, great moment. We went out for some food. Tony met up with a few locals. He was quite the celebrity in this pub we went to. And yeah, it's just a real nice, refreshing moment. Just to remind me of who I'm raising money for, why I'm raising money for. Yeah, it was a great moment.
Henry is hoping to complete the challenge by mid-June. You can follow the Tony Hudgel Foundation on socials to get details on how to donate.
Kent Online Sport.
Football and Chatham Town are through to the Isthmian League Premier Division playoff finals. They beat Horsham on penalties in front of a sold-out stadium last night. They'll play Enfield Town for a chance of promotion next Monday. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.